You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Android badness in the wild, crimeware as a service courtesy of the Brazilian and Russian mobs, the challenge of third-party apps, the DNC hack still looks like the work of Russian intelligence, and those two bears, cozy and fancy, are now said to have taken up residence in the Clinton Foundation. Critical infrastructure attack surfaces and threats from ICS to the grid to transportation. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. We'll be following up on the DNC hack and related incidents later in the show, but first a review of what's currently happening in the wild, where criminals are currently wild about Android exploits. Malwarebytes is tracking Pavost. This is a bit of an odd one. It makes calls to numbers in area code 259. That's unassigned in the US, but if you use China's country code and try the numbers with that area code, you get a busy signal. This leads Malwarebytes to think that infected phones are calling China. Since, as Malwarebytes researchers put it, with Android malware, motives usually answer the question, will this make me money? The suspicion is that the calls are to premium numbers. Pavost masquerades, by the way, as a stopwatch app. Download with care. Other Android capers are being tracked by Trend Micro. Malware they're calling Godless is rooting smartphones for the most part in India and Southeast Asia, although a few infections have been reported as far afield as Iran and the United States. Godless affects Android 5.1, that is Lollipop, and has been found in a wide variety of apps from utilities like flashlights to copies of popular games. You're always best advised to download Android apps only from the Google Play Store, but Godless has found its way even into that walled garden. Third-party apps always pose the particular set of security challenges. We spoke with Aisha Kaya Farat from CloudLock about their recently published report, The Explosion of Apps. 27% are risky.
2 years ago, when we looked into this domain, we have found about 5,500 apps. This year, at the same time, we found more than 150,000 applications that are connected to corporate cloud environments. So this is a number that has increased by 30x in the last 2 years alone.
It's not just the increase in the number of apps that's cause for concern.
The apps that we are talking about, they are touching the corporate backbone. And employees are authorizing these applications using their corporate credentials. They give these applications, and obviously by extension, their vendors, programmatic access to their corporate data. These applications usually have very extensive permission scopes, access scopes. They ask for permission to create documents, delete all of your documents, externalize your documents, calendars, contacts. So they introduce millions of backdoors into corporate environments. All of these backdoors can easily be exploited as potential gateways for cybercrime.
Third-party apps can be notoriously difficult for IT to track, and the problem grows even more dangerous when they're being used by highly privileged employees.
Now, the employee might be the CEO of the company, or they might be a super admin, a super privileged account that sees all documents in an environment, who can see passwords for everybody in the environment. So a super privileged admin giving credentials to an application, it changed the entire dynamic. It's not just about the application itself, but it's also about the dynamic, you know, how it is being used, who is using those applications, etc.
The sheer number of dangerous apps outlined in CloudLock's report makes it daunting for IT departments to try to deal with them on an individual basis. Based on their research, Aisha Kaya-Farhat has some suggestions.
What organizations need is to develop a very high-level strategy. And they also need a tactical, very specific application acceptable use policy to decide how they will whitelist or ban applications going forward, you know, set of criteria. And this cannot be secret. This needs to be shared as a vision with the end users because, you know, ultimately the end users are responsible. They are the ones doing this. And automating workflows after this, so how we are going to identify applications, how are we going to ban and revoke applications in real time, has become more important than ever.
That's Aisha Kaya-Farhat from CloudLock. You can check out the report on their website. Another exploit trend Micro's following is Mongit, a commodity banking Trojan being served up by their Brazilian mob. We note that Brazilian organized cybercrime may soon be giving the Russian mob a run for its money. Mongit does the sorts of things you'd expect from a banking Trojan, basically getting into accounts and making illegal transactions. It's noteworthy that this is being sold in the form of malware as a service, and so is accessible to criminals who have limited or no technical capabilities. Ransomware is also still with us, and it, too, is being offered as a service. Cerber, in particular, is now an offer by Russian organized crime, and Checkpoint says that two distinct waves of evolved Cerber have hit the UK and the US over the past month. A survey of businesses suggests that most are no longer willing to consider paying the ransom. What effect, if any, this shift in attitude will have on the criminal market remains to be seen. The big story this week, of course, continues to be the hack of the U.S. Democratic National Committee. Despite the best efforts of Guccifer 2.0, including his brief and somewhat high-flown interview with Motherboard, the smart money is increasingly on Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear, as CrowdStrike affectionately calls the responsible teams at Russia's FSB and GRU. Fidelis and Mandiant are in substantial agreement with CrowdStrike on this attribution. The spore the attackers left behind is too sophisticated for script kiddies, as Fidelis put it. So what of Guccifer 2.0, the lone hacker who claimed responsibility? There are several possibilities. First, he may simply be hoaxing, claiming responsibility for an attack he had nothing to do with. Or second, he may be a false flag, a disinformation operation designed to afford the actual hackers with plausible deniability. Or finally, he may be a third hacker, having romped in coincidentally with the bears. This is entirely possible. Some high-profile cyber attacks take on the qualities of a riot, with several independent actors striking the same target set. CrowdStrike has been darkly suggesting the second middle option, disinformation, and since, after all, we're dealing with bears, it seems appropriate to remark that this one would be just right. More interestingly, especially for those waiting for more documents to drop, Bloomberg reported yesterday that unnamed sources tell them that the DNC hackers, presumably Cozy and Fancy, also gained access to the Clinton Foundation's systems. Observers expect more files to leak over the coming weeks. We heard a presentation from a senior NSA official this morning at the Cyber 7.0 conference. Renee Tarrin, Special Assistant to the Director, NSA, for Cyber and Deputy Chief of the NSA's Cyber Task Force, spoke at length about the threat nation-states pose to critical infrastructure. She specifically discussed Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, and she wasn't telling tales out of school, since these are the same threat actors U.S. Director of National Intelligence Clapper has singled out in recent congressional testimony. Her two sample cases were the now-famous Bowman Street dam hack in Rye, New York, and December's takedown of a portion of Ukraine's power grid. Industry observers note increasing worry about industrial control system security across many sectors, with the power industry particularly concerned about a repetition of the Ukraine hack, this time in North America. Consensus on that likelihood is a soft, well, maybe, probably, or at least maybe, but the concerns are widespread. Other forms of infrastructure present their own distinctive attack surfaces. We spoke about those in the transportation sector with Charles Clancy, director of Virginia Tech's Hume Center. We'll hear from him after the break. In industry news, analysts assess the needs of the cyber insurance market. Traders are looking at the prospects of bellwether publicly traded security companies, especially those who, like Cisco and Symantec, have recently made acquisitions, and those who, like FireEye, have recently declined to be acquired. Venture capital is also active, as behavioral analytics shop Light Cyber gets $20 million in Series B funding. Finally, let's return to the problem of attribution for a moment. It strikes us that this is often done the way Obi-Wan Kenobi would do it. It's a small step from this code, too sophisticated for mere script kiddies, only nation-states are so capable, to these blast points, too accurate for sand people, only Imperial Stormtroopers are so precise. Now, if you could only see if they hacked in single file to hide their numbers, then we'd really have something.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm joined once again by Dr. Charles Clancy. He's the director of the Hume Center for National Security and Technology. They're part of Virginia Tech. Dr. Clancy, I know one of your areas of research is dealing with some of the cyber challenges regarding transportation.
Indeed. As we see the growth of autonomous vehicles and certainly connected vehicles right now, there's a growing risk of cyber threat to those vehicles, principally due to the interconnectedness of them. Previously, your car was not connected to the cloud, and now it is. And once that connection's in place, it creates a threat vector.
So what are some of the specific dangers involved with vehicles?
Well, I think most people probably saw the report a couple months ago about the group that hacked the Jeep, and Wired had an article on it showing that they could hack in via the cellular interface and cause a Jeep to drive off the side of the road. Obviously, concerns like that are significant, but there's also a wide range of privacy concerns if hackers are able to access the microphones in your cabin of your vehicle, for example, and be able to listen in on conversations. There's significant privacy concerns as well.
And it's not just with autos. There are concerns with aviation as well.
Indeed, there have been a number of well-publicized reports recently about people proposing that they can hack into different segments of, in particular, the civil aviation ecosystem, whether it's air traffic control systems or individual aircraft. So we have a research portfolio at Virginia Tech that's looking specifically at things like air traffic control and how we might make the next generation air traffic control systems more secure against such attacks. That ecosystem is being complicated significantly by the growth of UAVs and the intersection between the civil aviation and the UAV ecosystem. Obviously, many of these UAVs are relatively unsophisticated devices and have cyber threats of their own that need to be contended with.
All right, Dr. Charles Clancy, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.